And pretty much, I'm going to be honest with you, pretty much everybody I know, almost everybody I know, is guilty of what I'm getting ready to preach on. And if you're not guilty of what I'm getting ready to preach on, praise the Lord. But I'm guilty of what I'm getting ready to preach on. Probably Pastor Buddy C. is guilty of what I'm getting ready to preach on. Preacher Carlisle Hanna was probably guilty of what I'm getting ready to preach on. So you know how serious this is. Joshua chapter 1, when you get there, let's stand in honor of God's word. Amen. Good to have visitors with us. Good to have good friends with us. And thank you for being here. Good to have church members with us. Amen.
Amen.
This is where you're supposed to be. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all the people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. Thou shalt not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Now take your Bible and let's go to chapter 21. Chapter 21, verse 43. Remember what I just read and listen to what I'm getting ready to read again. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. And the Lord gave them rest round about according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. There failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. God, we love you. We come to Jesus. Thank you for the reading of your word. Help me, Lord, over the next few minutes, God, as I try to preach what you've prepared. And God, help me, dear Lord, to just be able to bring it out in a way that you would be pleased, God. Speak to every heart, and we'll honor and give you glory right now. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of this message is going to be, Are We Living on Less Than God Promised? Are we living on less than God promised? God promised the children of Israel a certain amount of land, and I'm going to get into that in just a little bit. But if you notice anything, and I go ahead, Riley, pull that. Pull what Israel looks like up now. That's the nation of Israel right there. Where it says Israel, that little hump piece of land right there from the Dead Sea back to the Sea of Galilee, that is what Israel looks like today. Most everybody, all of us know what Israel looks like today. Riley, pull up what God promised them. That is the promised land that God promised Israel right there. If Israel would have done what they were supposed to do, Jackie, they'd probably be the biggest nation in the Middle East. But they didn't. And how many of us do? How many of us are living on a whole lot less than what God promised us? Amen. Why? And it's not God's fault. I read to you, the Bible said, God said, I have given. God said, it was all there. The Bible tells us in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. We're more worried about our homes, and we're more worried about our jobs, and we're more worried about the boats and the four-wheelers and everything else. We're more worried about the ball teams and all this other stuff than we are putting God first in our life. The problem is not that God failed to give it to them, but they failed to possess it. And that's how we all are. Like I said, I'm guilty. Let's just look at just a few things. God's promise was bigger than their possession. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 15, verse 18, in the same day the Lord had made a covenant with Abram, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land from the river Egypt unto the great river Euphrates. When Israel came out of Egypt, they were already headed for the promised land. God had already done it. When we got saved, God had already done it. God had a plan for our lives. God had a plan for Israel. God said there's a land. God said there's an inheritance. God said there's a prepared place for you. There's something better than what you got now. And what God promised, they did not possess. I showed you the picture. What God said you can have and what they got, two different things. How many of us, what God said you can have, and what you really got is way different. Because, and it's not God's fault. God's got a storehouse. I started to look up all the scripture, David, about the storehouse. Man, God just talks about if you'll just do what I tell you to, I'll pour it out on you. You won't even be able to handle it. Amen. When's the last time you saw a Christian that was so blessed they couldn't handle it? Just be honest with you, most Christians I know walk around looking so sad they can't hardly stand themselves. Amen. God had promised us some things. He's promised us his presence. Hebrews chapter 13, he promised us his peace. Acts chapter 1, he promised us his provision, his forgiveness. He promised to live in his house. Hey, how many of us are living way below the promises that God promised us? God promised his provision. Hey, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Hey, I'm just telling you right now, folks, if we're not careful, we live way below God. We talk about in our country about the upper class, the middle class, and then you talk about the ones that are living in poverty. Most Christians spiritually are living in poverty. And God's got it all right there for us. God didn't lie about the land. They just didn't take it. The Bible says in Joshua chapter 21, verse 43, listen, and the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein. God did his part, but they did not do their part. Amen. God's always going to do his part. Amen. You go ahead and mark that down. God's always going to do his part. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you ask what you will and it shall be done. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says there's any sick among you, let them call for the elders, get anointed with oil, and the prayer of faith shall. How many of us are not living where God wants us to live because we don't have the faith to step out and do what God's telling us to do? See, they didn't possess their land. The judges, and we ain't been long went through judges in Sunday school. Judges, the book of chapter 1 says a lot of stuff like that. Neither did Manasseh drive out. Neither did Ephraim drive out. Neither did Zebulun drive out. They didn't have the faith to go in and do what God was telling them to do. See, you can be standing in the promised land and still have unclaimed territory. What they had, that little picture of where Israel at right now, that is the promised land, but there's unclaimed territory. You can be standing in the promised land and still not have everything that God wants you to have. I mean, we can be a child of God and live like an orphan. Amen. Amen. I'm just telling you, folks, we can have the peace of God and still be worried about some things. I'm preaching to somebody right now. We can have the joy and still be sad in situations. We can have a prayer life and never get our prayers answered. Unclaimed territory as Christians. How many of us are living way below? The Bible tells in Psalms 37, verse 25, I have been young and now I'm old, and yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Yeah. I've told you this before. When Blake was born, When I was born, my granddad had an old double-barrel Fox shotgun. My daddy said when my granddad would come in from hunting, he would hand me that gun. He would unload it, of course. He would hand me that gun. He said, and I'd drag it through the house. About 2 or 3 years old. My granddaddy told my daddy, he said, when I die, that gun is his. He never said it was my daddy's. He said, when I die, that gun is his. And when my granddaddy died, at about 4 years old, I had a double barrel shotgun. When my son was born, guess what? That gun was his. He was not able to take it. He was not able to use it. But when he got to the point where he could use it, guess what? It's his. And I hope that one day it'll be Hunter's. And you got to understand something. God's got a storehouse up there jam full of stuff for Tony. And all Tony's got to do is line up with what God's got. And God will pour it out on us. And you got to understand something, folks. If we'll just, we got to keep on going. We got to keep on going. She sung that song, we can't stop, we can't quit. That's the problem. Most of us come short of where God wants us to be. How many of us are living way below where God wants us to be? Every piece of land had to be claimed. You hear what I said? Every piece of land had to be claimed. Now listen, Joshua chapter 1 verse 3 says, now listen how this reads. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, now listen, that have I given. It was a done deal. Basically what God was saying, if you can walk it, it's yours. I've already given it to you. You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to do something on your side, amen. You're going to have to do a little bit. God said, I've given it. Everywhere your foot shall tread, you got it. This was not going to be one of them things that God was going to say, hey, I'm going to let you get on the other side of Jordan, and we're going to shout it out, and everything's going to be peachy king. No, guess what? When they went in, their first, just hadn't been in there very long, there was the Battle of Jericho. We know what God did there, amen? And then they had to face Ai. They had to face some opposition. And we know there were giants in the land. There were armies in the land. They had to do something. Let me say, God saved you. That was free. I've told you this before. Salvation is free, but heaven is going to cost you this world, amen? We got to make up our minds. I want what God has more than I want what the devil has. I want what God has more than I want what the world has. And if you want what God has, God will pour it out on you like you cannot even believe. Amen. Some things required work. We ask God for victory. God says, start walking. We ask God for, Lord, use me. God says, step out on faith. Amen. David kind of got a little bit of this in Sunday school this morning. When God called me to preach, I didn't know what God had in store. Preacher Buddy C. had just preached not long before that passage, I think it's in Ezekiel, where it talks about the water coming out the throne, how it was ankle deep and then knee deep and waist deep. And he talked about how to, until you get out there where you can't touch the bottom, you're not in faith. When God called me to preach and I quit the highway patrol, guess what? I couldn't touch the bottom. I had no idea what God was going to do, but I was trusting God that he was going to take care of it. I had no idea, Alan, there was a Liberty Free Will Baptist Church in my future. No earthly idea what God was going to do. And when we stepped out on faith and we moved to Lancaster, we still didn't have no idea, Brother Robert, what God was going to do. If God would have showed us 26 years ago what he was going to do right here in this corner, it would have scared us to death. But look what God's done. We went from one little building to another building to another building, and God is blessed. I'm telling you, folks, and I'm still guilty of living below where God wants me to live. God said, you got to possess it. It's there, but you got. Why did they face opposition? Because Satan knew they were coming. Yeah. So how you mean? Well, if you go back and study the Bible talks about the Battle of Jericho. When they come in, they sent the spies in. Rahab, hey, the harlot says, hey, we heard about y'all, and we heard about your God. Yeah. They knew they were coming. Satan knows if somebody will get dedicated. Satan knows if somebody will sell out. Satan knows if somebody will just do what God's telling them to do, that God will use that person. God will use that man. God will use that woman. But Satan's going to fight. And you and I got to make sure, hey, I'm just going to go, I'm staying with Jesus, amen. He brought me this far, glory to God. He ain't going to let me down now. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you until the very end.
Amen. That's right.
Satan realizes that if somebody will sell out, God can use them. I thought about it as I was studying this. Abraham left everything he had and look what God did for him. Amen. Ruth left everything she had, and look what God did for her. King David's grandmama. Amen. And you got, it's all through the Bible. Samuel answered God's call at a young age, and look what God did for him. Little David went out to fight a giant, and look what God did for him. Amen. Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. And look what God did for him. I think about it this morning. David stepped up one day and said, Lord, I'll teach Sunday school. And look what God's done. God allowed him to be on a deacon board. Tony stepped up one day and said, Lord, I'll work. Dave and Skip and all these other guys that have been deacons, they stepped up one day and said, Lord, I'll do it. And God said, you going to do it? I'm going to show you how I can bless you. How many of us are living way below where God wants us to live? See, some battles you fight ain't because the road's getting rough. It's because you just before victory and the devil's throwing everything he has at you. Don't measure God's promise by where you're at right now. You hear me? Don't measure God's promise by where you're at right now. In other words, don't build a comfortable home in a temporary wilderness. That's what's wrong with most of us. I guess this is where the Lord wants me. Well, I guess this is as far as God's going to take me. Well, no, it ain't. Until you stand in face to face with Jesus, he ain't done with you yet, amen? And God's got things in store for us, and that's the problem. We stop way short of God. I'm reminded of the movie Facing the Giants, when that little fellow put that boy on that man's back, and he went the whole football field. He wanted to quit, but there was somebody urging him on. He wanted to stop, but there was somebody saying, I think he can go one more. You got to understand something. There's somebody named Jesus. He said, I'll never. And every time you get down, he's right behind you, said, I got you. You just keep on going. I got you, Mike. Don't you worry about what everybody else is saying. You just keep on going. I'm telling you right now. And not only that, you got a whole church family that loves you. Brother Skip in that choir, he don't know what he did for me just a minute ago when he placed his arm around me and said, preacher, I got you and I love you. Hey, we're here for each other. Amen. Don't quit. Don't quit. Don't quit. Discouragement's a real thing. And it's a real thing to Christians. And if we ain't careful, we'll fall way short of what God wants us to do. When Peter got out of the boat and was walking on the water to Jesus, do you think it was Jesus' intention for Peter to sink? No. Why did Peter sink? He got his eyes off of Jesus. And you've heard me say this many, many times from this pulpit. What could Peter have done if he'd have just heard a little encouragement? Go ahead, Peter, you got this. Peter, you walking on the water. You're doing something that only Jesus has done. Go ahead, Peter. But no, probably what Peter, if Peter was Free Will Baptist, probably what he heard was, get back in this boat. Have you lost your mind? You can't do that. Well, ain't nobody in this church ever done that before. And he began to sink.
That's right.
You can't serve on no deacon board. What in the world's wrong with you?
That's right.
You too young to be a deacon. You too busy. Look up at me. Jesus has got it. And I don't know what he's telling you to do. And I don't know what he's got in store for your life. But I'm telling you right now on the authority of God's word, if you'll sell out to him, he'll bless you. Hey, your boundary can be what it was, not what it is now. How many of us are living way below where God wants us to be? Brother Robert, come back. I want you to come sing, "Please Forgive Me." I want you to bow your heads with me.